everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we're going to be talking about how autism affects one adult male. And in looking it up, I read that autism is a pervasive neurodevelopmental condition which affects how a person communicates or interacts with others. People with autism may have a difficult time understanding social cues or social behaviors, and they may face challenges engaging with those around them, either by using words or nonverbal behaviors. Autism looks different for every person and affects everyone differently. Autism may also be recognized differently in different populations and cultures. While it may affect different cultures and countries at the same rate, sometimes the social behaviors vary. For example, eye contact expectations are different from country to country. While lack of eye contact may be a common sign of autism in the United States, other cultures may not notice it as much. So tonight we will be talking to my guest, Mr. John McGuire, from New York, and he's going to share with us how autism affects him. Mr. McGuire, are you with us?
How are you? Actually, I'm in Rochester, New York, technically.
Okay, Rochester, New York. Mr. McGuire, thank you for coming on to the show tonight. To explain to us how autism affects you. And we know it's different from person to person. So when were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I'm 36.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is that you had it all the time, but you just got diagnosed?
Yeah, pretty much, and that was part of the diagnosis, was they thought that, well, everything, from childhood had been a clear indication, but just that the concept was not well known. I remember even having someone mention it to me, but not directly, so that, again, being autistic, I didn't really, I don't take hints that aren't direct, so I had no clue what he was, I thought it was just another fun conversation topic, what did I know? But, yeah, I can see back, looking back, I can see a lot of, like, hello, kind of things, but,
So did your parents not recognize it either?
I don't know if they knew what it was, to be honest with you. If they did, they never mentioned it. I think they kept it light in the diagnostic area generally. So,
okay.
It wasn't something, I was diagnosed ADD when that was a fad, but it wasn't, right?
Oh, okay. Okay. So what types of things were you, behaviors were you exhibiting? I read about the eye contact. Was that one of the issues that you had?
I can certainly say that, natural eye contact has never come naturally to me. So it's more of a you know, sort of fake it kind of thing where you imitate. So like when they talk about children who aren't natural, you know, writing doesn't come naturally. People say they don't write, but they draw the letters is a term I've heard used in pedagogy. And I would say it's the same kind of thing with eye contact. It's like I don't really, it doesn't really come naturally, but I, you know, I do what I know to be acceptable rather than it being like second nature. Yeah. And that goes for many, anything, almost anything nonverbal, almost anything, you know, these subtleties of the social interaction. Now, lately, a little different. I think I've come out of my shell a bit more, but yeah, for the most part.
So you do make eye contact at some time.
Oh, I gotta. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I make eye contact. I don't think that's ever been the biggest issue compared to others that I know of, but again, maybe it's also something people don't talk about. But like you said about different cultures, and I live in, you know, Rochester is a fairly eclectic, I mean, they've taken in a lot of immigrants, you know, however you might, people might feel about that. I mean, I can see both sides of that issue, but I can see both sides, and I can see the conspiracy, too. But it's a very, very eclectic and diverse population, and I've seen, you know, we use the blanket term Arab to refer to a bunch of people that aren't necessarily, but that major group of people are very different, of course, with eye contact, as with many things. You know, they won't, you don't hand something with your left hand. There's a lot of different things. So, yeah.
That's interesting that you were diagnosed so late. Did you tell your parents at that time? What did they?
Well, they
what kind of response did they have?
Well, the first direct, it came from my parents. Was the first kind of direct mention of. It was phrased as Asperger's syndrome.
Right.
And from there I kind of educated myself and tried to learn as much as I could. And then at a certain point I realized, well, maybe I should look at a diagnosis in a way of, you know, finding support and finding, you know, kind of understanding. Because the employment thing would never take off the ground. And that's, there are very few autistic people who really would say anything different. I think my mother was the one who encouraged me to look at this, and my father was more the one who was like, you know, slamming on the brakes at every turn. And I can understand that too. You know, he didn't want me to be labeled. He didn't want me to be enabled. He didn't want me to be, you know, coddled.
Absolutely.
Or, so it was, I think I, you know, really, I guess a good balance, you know, maybe why God has thought of, you know, men and women having kids. I mean, it's just an interesting experience.
Okay, now, what are some of your limitations?
Limitations, right, well, you know, big crowds. For extended periods of time, that's a definite limitation.
Which one?
And it isn't. What's that?
You said big crowds, and what was the other one?
Oh, for extended periods of time, I said.
Okay.
I mean, in small doses, I can do, you know, noise and bells and whistles and, you know, but you know. For maybe an hour, like I was at, like a, more, most recently I was at the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and in our city, and yeah, it was great fun, but you know, boy, after an hour, it's like, all right, well, I need quiet, you know. But anyone who describes it as anyone who's described as an introvert, right, we get our energy from quiet. We don't get our energy from energy. It's kind of,
okay.
So it's different than perhaps the majority, especially the majority of people who are out in society. They're there because that's their natural habitat. Ours is much quieter.
Were you like that when you were younger? You wanted quiet?
I think, you know, a lot of changes in, you know, adolescence, especially for boys. So, but,
do you have siblings?
Yeah, two years younger brother.
Is he autistic?
No, there isn't any specific diagnosis, that he's been explicit about. He's in the Army, and so he's, you know,
okay.
You know, married, and so, you know, it's like he's making good, so to speak, and so, you know, usually people in that position don't talk about it. If there is a diagnosis, won't mention it. You know, I'm betting my money's on there's something, but there's something with everyone, I suppose.
Well, you're right about that.
And
how do you
yeah.
feel about your diagnosis?
Well, I just, you know, when I got diagnosed, I felt like it was the right thing to do. I don't know. You know, I don't make a big deal out of it. I didn't tell my boss in my job that I'm working now. He knows that I have a job coach, which so far has been a plus, I think. But
now you say you're 36, right?
Yes.
Do you live alone?
I live in a rooming house, and with the exception of the cigarette smoke, it's ideal for me because I like to have that. It's the perfect balance for me, or it has been. I mean, things could change. You know, I could find someone and whatever, but of being able to have my own space, but also not be not be a hermit in the Western tradition.
okay.
Not to be completely isolated.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a break now and tell my listeners, if you would like to ask John a question or make a comment, all you have to do is press the 1 on your keypad. And you will be streaming live, and you can ask your question. And we're going to take a break.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have serviced the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back, and I'd like to remind my listeners, if you would like to talk and ask a question or make a comment with Mr. McGuire, all you have to do is press the 1. Now, John, there was saying there's a list of the signs, and they say the children on the autism spectrum disorder typically have some degree of impairment in communication. For example, they may not respond to their name, initiate interaction with others, or demonstrate age-appropriate language development. Of course, did you you think you had any of that? Because you weren't diagnosed when you were smaller. So do you think you had any of those? Did you have a problem with communication? John?
Sorry, I was muted. I'm sorry. I muted myself. I apologize for that.
Oh, I do that a lot of times, too. But did you hear the question?
Yes. I
know you said
like,
you were diagnosed with ADHD.
ADD, yes.
Okay, so you were very animated.
Well, ADHD is the more animated ones. ADD is just being distracted, but
okay.
So yeah, I was, if anything, underactive in many ways, I guess, and often with autistic children, for the most part, you know, when they're themselves and not having an episode, they tend to be fairly subdued, I guess, and understated in their personalities, generally. Unless they're either triggered and, you know, and having an episode, I guess I'd call it, or involved in something extremely nerdy that's to their liking. And it could be anything. It could be climatology. It doesn't matter. It could be just any subject or any hobby, depending on each individual.
Having an episode, can you explain to my listeners what that means?
So I don't think that I want a disclaimer here. I don't think that autistic people, it's not as if we have a shorter fuse necessarily, although I'm half Irish and that might be part of it. It's not that we have a shorter fuse, but it's that the inability to communicate in the normal ways simply is frustrating. It would be frustrating for anyone, but most people find normal outlets and are capable in normal ways of communicating. When you find that road is blocked, in spite of the fact that you're young and healthy otherwise, it redirects in one of two ways, either toward a sort of anger with society. And now we've seen this with certain tragic events, obviously, because an autistic person being bullied feels that rage and that anger, but doesn't know how to respond proportionately and appropriately. So they either retreat or they might do something that's over the top. you see, even from the bully's perspective. This is very common. So, because bullying, unfortunately, is no matter what the even if there's this new activist campaign to stop bullying, let's face it, it's pretty much accepted as normal, you know, subconsciously at any rate. People, you know, people accept it. What they don't accept is, you know, I think someone really standing their ground firmly, which is what an autistic person will do. And so whether justly or unjustly, we're often the victims, both going and coming, if you know what I mean, when it comes to bullying. Whether we do or we don't, we're damned, so to speak. But the other place where we redirect that frustrated social energy is into nerding it up, as it were. So finding some obsession or some passion or some hobby or some field of study where, you know, we can have our own little field area and not be bothered by the pressures of the normal party goer type of thing that we just simply couldn't relate to, even if we wanted to, which sometimes we do want to, but that there's this roadblock of I can't fit in, and trying to only brings pain. So, yeah. Anyway, that's a lot, but
I mean, that's a pain. Is that how you feel sometimes?
I'm sorry?
Is that how you feel sometimes?
Do I feel? Oh, all these things I've said. Sure. Yes. This is quite a repeatable experience in my own history. Yes.
Okay. Do you? I think this is for younger children when they say repetitive body movements. Hand flapping, tapping, spinning, rocking their body, or looking at things out of the corner of their eye. I wouldn't think that at this point you would be exhibiting those behaviors. But how with nonverbal? Can you read people their body language?
Every body language. You know, something happened lately where I came out of my shell, and it involved sort of a traumatic experience of misplacing something or thinking I had. And I went through a whole weekend not having it, and I think, and it was, you know, like all my identification and money and things, and I wound up finding it. It was actually Easter weekend. And I kind of muddled through, and I went and visited my family and visited some friends. And I think since then, because it really forced me to live in the moment with people. And I think it forced me to experience that. And since then, it's as if something clicked, and I came out of my shell. And I haven't felt a lot of the things I described suddenly have kind of at least been softened, let's just say. And I hope everyone can have that experience. I mean, as much as it was traumatic, to know that can happen.
So what you're saying is that it happened on one occasion?
Yeah, like it was just this past Easter. Yeah. And I also just got a job in a print shop, which is really my forte. It's really my, you know, superpower, so to speak. And a lot of times in talking about Asperger's and autism, they talk about having a superpower and find your superpower, find your strength, find your, you know, area of hyper-focused attention. And that's definitely where I where I connect to the wider society, even kind of before I had this epiphany, you know.
So that's your, what you like to do?
There's just the right amount of different elements to the printing work that it's just the right mix, I guess, so to speak. There's design, but then there's also, you know, being able to be a neat freak with the, you know, working with paper and ink, and then being able to present that to the customer, and that's full circle. Then you're dealing with people in a way that's productive and can be meaningful. It's what I think we all wish for everyone.
So when you came out of your shell, did you go back in? Is that what you're saying to me?
No.
So you had that epiphany and you came out.
Maybe in the past I have, but I think, I'm sorry?
No, I just said you came out. I want to know if you stayed out.
As of now. And what I mean by that specifically is, and it's almost a surreal experience, almost like being out of your body or being another person that I've had, because, believe it or not, I have actually, I don't even know how I do it, and I don't think neurotypical people do know how they do it, and that's why it's so frustrating for autistic people, because no one can explain how they know what to say when. When's the right time to say this or that, you know? We all know this because we have to survive socially, and so we know when to, you know, when to hold our tongue, when to listen. I would say the art of conversation is mainly just the art of listening, right? That's the big secret, right?
That's the big secret that nobody does. We don't listen. We just wait until the other person stops in order for us to talk. Now it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about that we have to learn to when to say certain things, you know, how to do this, how to do that. But that's why we go around a lot of times with our feet in our mouths, because we often speak, you know, when we should just be listening.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, to be clear, we are talking about two different things at once. And I do want to point out the difference, because the autism is really pathological, whereas this other phenomenon, now both of them can present the same way, but this cultural phenomenon of non-listening is more of a real expression of just egoism, and not something, it's not like they can't help it. Well, maybe, I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. So it's two different things that can look the same on face value, but the autistic child and adult even really, really is struggling like crazy to be able to. And I always listened to people. I mean, I always was able to listen to people, but I didn't know when to listen and when to talk. It's just, you know, but that's the difference.
So, do you have any close friends?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any close friends?
I'd say, yeah, I have a few. They aren't, yeah, I think we touched on this a little bit. They tend to be maybe a couple decades older than me, generally, or more. You know, working at the print shop, I've been pretty chatty with a lot of, you know, honestly, I'm guessing retired people. And, you know, it just, that's just, you know, we just get, you know, we're thick as thieves. It's just how, it's just those are the people that I click with. I don't know. But that's common with autism. And that's
but good, cool. If you're having a conversation with people, right?
I'm sorry?
That's good if you're having conversations with others, right?
Oh, it's good. But, you know, but I do appreciate that it is odd that they tend to be not people in my peer group, by and large,
okay.
You know, or not my, or maybe not even my, or not maybe not even my gender that I would like to have meaningful friendships with. I mean, that's often seen as odd and, you know, definitely been a social stigma. And I need to be okay with that so that then I'm able to project that confidence to say, you know what, no. I am how I am. It's not harming anyone. Get off me, you know, if the need should arise.
Okay. So you have a potential female.
What's that?
You haven't met that special female.
I've had, you know, I've definitely had feelings. But, you know, it hasn't completely, you know, reciprocated. And so I just, you know, okay. But, you know, I mean, I can see the thing happening. It's just, it just hasn't happened. And, you know, I'm very happy as I am. And I, you know, I would welcome whatever wonderful thing comes my way. You know, I just,
Okay, so are you affiliated with any organization?
Not strongly. I am a person who loves things up, who loves to, well, I don't know, maybe as Paul said, be all things to all people. I like to learn about different cultures, and so I try not to be too wedded to anyone, which could be why it's hard to find a partner. and I like to look behind the presentation, you know, whether it's culture, religion, and see what are the underpinnings. And oftentimes when I look for, you know, kind of who were the architects of this system, of this organization, oftentimes there are people like me. There are people who are on the autism spectrum. You know, I mean, it's a who's who of scientists, artists, statesmen. I mean, Einstein. You know, Mozart. I mean, you could just go on and on, in terms of people who've been prodigious in defining and redefining and restructuring the paradigm of the wider society. And you know, these weren't people who were partygoers. Let's face it. They were probably considered eccentric, dark, odd, you know, all kinds of things in their day when they walked the earth. But they said, okay, you know what, I'm gonna do what I do. Maybe they had more money many times. I mean, it helps, right? If they were aristocracy, which they often, I mean, but, and they were, you know, all sorts of things, that have meant a lot to the wider society. But when you're a contemporary of a person with autism, somehow there isn't that, attractiveness or dazzlingness. We're not charismatic, okay? We're not gonna rise to the top of the totem pole. But we might rearrange the whole totem pole without doing that. You know?
Right.
I guess that's,
I like that. I like that. Rise to the top of the one that you rearrange.
So
when you were first diagnosed, how did you feel? What did you do?
Well, it was just a sigh of relief. It was like, finally, because I knew so much about it, and I had so much trying experiences. And it was such like validation of, okay, you know what? This sort of failure to launch that I've had in life, what is the reason for it?
Okay.
And,
did you try to go to an organization or speak to someone about it or go to the doctor? What'd you do?
I'm currently in a support group, which I think I found before I was diagnosed. It's a local support group in Rochester, and they're called Square Pegs, appropriately.
Okay. I like that.
That's been an awesome way to meet some awesome individuals who have similar challenge and similar gifts. So, it's been amazing.
That's a nice way to meet people, I would think.
Yeah, it's really
so
transformed
how
I view myself, because now I can view myself more from the outside, which has always been what I needed. Because when you're meeting with other people with similar quirks, you realize, oh, you know what, that bothers me. I can see why someone might. And that's the gentlest, most effective way to sort of.
So do you meet with them often?
About monthly.
Okay.
They have, they alternate each month. They'll do either sort of a support group meeting where they go around, there's a conference table that they have access to. They go around the table and they, what's the catchphrase? They say, basically one victory and one challenge. I'm not using that. They had a much catchier sounding, basically, you know, what are you struggling with and what's been a win for you? I'm not wording it right, but it's a wonderful format. And then alternate months, they also have where they go to, like, get the Great Northern Pizza and just, you know, chill together. So, nice group.
So do you go on vacations?
Well, mini vacation now, actually. just helping a friend with the... just doing some construction of a cabin in the woods, so.
A cabin in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a vacation?
It is for me, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Just the fact that it's in the woods is all I need. Yeah, I'm simple that way. It's not intense, and it's just in good company. That's what makes it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that could be. You're doing something that you like doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm going to take another break. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, just, I've been able to do things that, you know, I wouldn't fit in with a construction crew, as you might imagine. And so it's nice to be able to do things with your hands that, you know, I grew up around, you know, the workshop, and I love that stuff, so, you know, kind of miss it, and so it's nice to me, that's what it is.
Oh, okay. Do you drive?
I don't currently, and I think that's a good thing for me, because I am, so I love to let my mind wander, and it's not good to drive like that. So, I ride my bike.
No, I don't think so. Okay.
Yeah. I ride my bike and I have no problems. And that's,
but so you're in Rochester. That's got to be a problem during the winter.
There's an art to negotiating winter, but made it okay. I don't go that far. But.
Okay, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122 and visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
And we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And we're talking to Mr. John McGuire, and he's explaining to us how he feels and how he navigates through his autism. So, John, how do you... what did you do for leisure time, for fun?
Blog Talk Radio was an amazing discovery for me 3 years ago or so. Because due to the fact that the nonverbal forms of communication are, or at least were at the time, such an enigma and a mystery to me. Radio was like a total godsend. So that has most of my evenings, or many of them. I mean, now I don't need it quite as desperately, but it has been a way for me to, again, like the print shop worked, a way to really be with others in a way that's productive and meaningful.
And that's how you found my show, right?
It is, yeah.
And I thank you, sir, for searching. I thank you for being a guest on my show tonight. So you don't play any sports, or do you like exercise or swim or anything like that?
I bicycle. I think I've always liked doing that. I think I liked hockey, watching it and playing it also. Like live, when I experienced that, it was kind of known as a more abrasive sport, right? There wasn't just It isn't just people playing a game. It's often, you know, breaks out into fights. And I think that as someone who couldn't really express myself fully the way I could see neurotypical peers doing, hockey sort of gave that outlet where you could see, wow, you know.
I'm not really into hockey.
No, I wouldn't expect. I'm only trying to explain why I was, for a certain period, because that was how I could sort of unleash the wild side without getting into trouble.
So, were you participating though, or just watching?
Watching, and it wasn't a habitual thing, but when it was, I just could tell I'm really, you know, really getting a charge out of this. But it would,
okay.
I've only been to maybe two or three games in my life, but. And I don't even know if it's on television at all, but.
Okay. So
but,
did you watch the Olympics?
Some, yeah, not devotedly, but yeah, some.
Okay, well, I don't think I watched any of it.
Yeah, I don't tend to be big into sports much. I tend to be a critic, especially of football. I mean, I view the whole thing as, I've never liked it, but I've also learned to really despise it. Yeah, especially that new movie that came out, and it's just so exploitative. I find it.
What new movie? Do you go to the movies?
They did a movie about the, brain damage that and cancer that often haunts players in their retirement.
Oh yeah. Well, it's reality.
It very much is, and we think, oh, we're not like the ancient Romans who watched gladiators go to their deaths, but we are actually, and let's face it, that's what I say.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you see Black Panther?
I've not seen that, but I do. I would love to see it. I never see anything in theaters, but obviously it did give it its popularity. Very much looking forward to checking it out.
Well, I was told it's coming out on the 15th of May.
Okay.
But now they have Avengers Xfinity or something like that just hit today.
Yeah.
So you don't go to the movies.
You know, I in the comic book movie genre, particularly for me, well, I should correct myself. What I mean is the superhero genre, unless it's a really kind of time-tested and well-known superhero, like Spider-Man, Batman.
Superman.
Yeah, not even that so much. I don't know. I never got into Superman.
You like Iron Man?
Something about Superman that's just too Mormon for me, I guess.
Okay.
I don't need to be controversial there, but...
That's okay.
Leaves a bad taste. Iron Man, like, for the same reasons as hockey, yeah, sort of. But.
Well, I like the comic book characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's a lot about graphic novels that I like, and then there's just others that just simply are not on my radar at all. I don't know, and that's autism for you, I guess, you know.
See we have someone that wants to ask you a question or make a comment. Caller, you're on with Mr. McGuire.
Well, hello, Jenny White, and thank you. You're
Hello,
welcome.
Hello, Mr. McGuire.
Thank you.
Hi,
how
Mr.
you doing
McGuire.
Tonight?
How are you? Oh, I'm doing
I'm great.
Great. Listen, I know that you mentioned that you had a job coach, and I was curious as to what exactly that entailed.
Oh, that's one of the best things I've ever gotten. So a job coach, and specifically this is an organization known as ARC. It used to be ARC, but that became politically incorrect, so they just got rid of the acronym meaning to it. And they're in some different counties, in, at least in western New York. They have a job path, which maybe more or less maybe they just a round of the mill garden variety job coaching. I don't know, but what I do know is that I've had amazing experiences, and I've dealt with like three or four different job coaches there. So I've had an amazing impression of that, and some amazing results from. I've now been at this job 3 weeks, and granted, it's the right job, but really the job coach was there helping me get there, and is now, coming, observing. You know, I just let them know this is my job coach, and there's different options you can go with for how you want to handle that, but I'm just excited to be open about it, and that's just best for me psychologically, let's put it that way. And the last time she was there, she was like, everything going good? Good, you know. If there's anything you can't talk about here, we can talk about, you know, very helpful job coach. So basically they help you find work, and then as you get into your job, they continue to work with you and make sure nothing's starting, you know, make sure you're learning and make sure that no problems are starting to present. I mean, yeah, that's what a job coach is. That's kind of a funny title, but that's what they do.
Very good question, Terry from Texas.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. You seem very relaxed, very comfortable with who you are, very confident, even to the point of getting on the radio. I understand that we can't see you, and there's a degree of anonymity that's comforting. But for you to even step out and speak on it, I think that's it says a lot about who you are. So thank you for helping us to understand a little bit more about autism.
Oh, I love doing it. And thank you. It's really a pleasure hearing from you.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Jenny. I have enjoyed your show.
Thank you, Miss Terry.
All right, you guys have...
You too. So, job coaches help you to find jobs, and they basically assist you if you need assistance on the job.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I didn't know if you were asking me that.
Yes.
Yep. That's it. Step one, the resume. You know, step two, interviewing skills. You know, roughly speaking, step three, getting in touch with agencies and employers and setting those things up, I during that process, I was sort of like, it was interesting because this particular job coach is very helpful, and maybe they all are, like I say, I don't know, but she she would actually like do a lot of the like filling out forms, and often I was there when she was doing it, but it was like, huh. And I was like, at a certain point, I was kind of like, can I do more? Shouldn't I, you know?
Just like, oh, well, okay.
But yeah,
that's
it was
a good thing.
Yeah, and this job coach, and I mean this platonically, by the way. I mean she's married and or has a you know, significant other anyway. But very, very particularly interesting person, and a lot of things like yoga and some different very, you know. Anyways, there was a certain media. You know, we sometimes would talk about other subjects. You know, in the field of spirituality and things. That's just really cool.
So, do you ever not have them? I mean, at some point in time, do you no longer have a coach, or do
right,
they stay
the
with
idea.
You? Okay. Okay, for you to be independent.
Yes, and I think it should be with all services. I think it implicitly is, but often that's forgotten because of, you know, people like their job security, you know. But, yeah, definitely the goal is to not need them, or certainly not need them as frequently, for sure.
Okay, so do you travel basically alone? When you're riding your bike, you're alone, right?
Yeah, mostly. I ride the bus as well. And it's, right, and that sometimes is a nice way to, you know, briefly encounter and chit-chat. Yeah, small talk, because that's, you know.
Sounds
again,
like you like to chit-chat.
Small talk is, I do. But it didn't always come naturally. You know, the small talk is again, sort of the autistic's kryptonite, if you want to use it.
Okay.
And it's like the weather. What about the weather? You know, it's like, that's not nerdy enough, you know. But, you know, you just suck it up. And you say, well, I want the people around me to, you know, you really got to, if you know someone who's autistic, I mean, sometimes that's really break it down for them and be like, well, you want to get along well? So, yeah. So then you've got to talk about the weather. You've got to be able to suck it up. Yeah. And
okay, John. So I appreciate you for coming on and being my guest tonight. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
Lots of love and respect for you guys. This is a great show. And please, if anybody is tearing their hair out and throwing their hands up with someone that they love with autism, you know, if you want to get in touch, please do. That's fine.
Okay, that's great. Well, one more time, thank you for being my guest tonight. And I'd like to thank my listeners for calling in, even if you didn't ask a question. And I appreciate you all, and come back next week, and we'll see what surprises we have for you then. I'd like to say thank you and good night.
Good night. Take care.
You too.